Wildflowers sway without a breeze. Honeybees. It's a haiku by Kerry Colin Lewis, written in 2015. Absolutely wonderful, isn't it? Good afternoon. This is Nina, and we are gathered now for the 28th episode of the Audible Weed Walk. Last week, we spoke about the blues, both in the mood due to the rain and the flowers. We noted that blue flowers are rare and plants produce them clearly to attract bees. We discuss that even though the color is so attractive to the bees, blue flowers remain uncommon in nature because plant must find it difficult to produce. Blue flowers that bees and winged pollinators find it attractive appears most in the landscape with narrow growing seasons like high altitude and also regular landscapes least disturbed by conventional agriculture. Made me think, do bees and other pollinators need weeds? Last week it didn't occur to me, but thinking about blue wildflowers around, I remember Miracle, Mimesillon umbellatum. Not only that, it is wonderful wispy blue because of its synchronized flowering. Suddenly, edges of paths and open areas in the wooded lands seem to be swiped with a brush stroke of delicate blue. I wondered, could Mimesillon or Miracle be pollinated? It turns out Miracle do not produce nectar. These flowers are visited by pollen-gathering bees who vibrate the anthers. Anthers open by longitudinal slits and expose the pollen. The exposed pollen is attractive to the pollen-gathering bees. Anthers also serve as a hold for the bees' legs, who can then land and collect the pollen happily. Though Miracle flowers do not have nectar, they do have terpenoid secreting glands, and bees collect terpenoids. You wonder, why would they want to collect terpenoids? Apparently, not all creatures are able to deal with terpenoids, which are sticky and partly toxic sap. However, bees' ability to deal with it have made them able to prosper in humid and warm environments. The bees use the chemical they collect to strongly improve their defenses against the microbial pathogens and infections of their brood and food storage, both of which are crucial for their survival. So Mimesillon umbellatum has what we say a buzz pollination, that is, pollination made possible by vibration or movement of anthers created by the bees. Buzz pollination is not possible by honeybees. Miracle plant, however, has berries which are dispersed by birds and mammals also. In an ancient Andrian, in an article that I have read, I have actually probably have mentioned about this before, Andrian Dyer discusses this and advises the urban landscape and food growing areas to nurture blue flowers to attract the bees. This can then benefit horticulture and agriculture as well. I go an extra mile. Since several of the uncultivated wild greens have flowers that are blue or some kinds of shades of blue, and some that may only be bluish in the eyes of the bees, even though they are not so for humans, it is a good idea not to weed out the growing areas, but to find them complementary to the health and the well-being of the cultivated plants. This naturally leads to the question, do wild uncultivated greens that are already excellent as indicators of climate change and soil condition, etc., also serves by attracting the pollinators to the plant that we tend? A study published from Florida in July 2020 talks about using weeds, wild unwanted plants, as insectary plants to attract this and support the beneficial insects. This is an emerging topic of cutting-edge agricultural research today. Weeds are not only good to attract pollinators, but especially expand the range of the parasitoids and predators also, increasing crop protection, reduction of the cost and use of pesticides, apart from promoting pollination. That is, it actually reduces any use of pesticides. Will that not be wonderful? The study of mango production in South Florida showed that fruit yield increased when weeds or wild plants were present. More biodiverse farms can host diverse plants and insects and are more resilient and less vulnerable to environmental stresses. Well, that's amazing, isn't it? In a blog about the flora of East Africa, quite different place from Florida again, also a part of the Old World tropics, which is, you know, most of Africa and Asian tropics are considered Old World tropics. It is argued that 2/3 of the 12,000 plus flowering plants that are recorded for the region are dependent on wild pollinators, and many of these pollinators have co-evolved over millions of years with wild pollinators to pollinate them. So, the article advises that apart from conserving natural habitats, creating wild habitats around and within the farms are important, including conserving the wild plants in the agricultural field and even planting them. Insects of 5 different orders provide us with pollination service for our crops. They are Hymenoptera. This includes ants, bees, wasps. Then Diptera includes true flies. Lepidoptera, butterflies, also includes lesser Lepidoptera, the tiny little butterflies and moths that you see often on weeds. Coleoptera, that is beetle, and Thysanoptera. These are tiny little insects called thurps or thunderflies. These are not considered to be beneficial to the plants until more recently. Now, both fossil evidence and recent studies show that they too are pollinators. In addition, some birds, bats also provide pollination service for a smaller number of plants. Bees, however, both solitary and social species, pollinate most of our crops and fodder. They are entirely dependent on pollen and nectar from the flowers for their survival. Some bees, like honeybees and stingless bees, convert the nectar into stores of honey. Most bees, especially the solitary bees, collect pollens and store this as food for their larvae. Many bees only forage a short distance from where they build their nest, so diversity of wildflowers will attract them and help them nest close by, only benefiting agriculture and horticulture. The more diversity of plants that are present and flowering across seasons, the better the conditions for bees. The types of plants in an area will depend on the habitat, but usually both annual and perennial plants are important, and those with diverse period of flowering. Some that are flower for long, usually those that are in the wild areas or its edges. If you have noticed, many of the uncultivated wild greens, some edibles, some not, some in the coloring book produces flowers for a long time. Several of them are either blue or bluish, clearly raising the flags for the bees and other insect pollinators. Can you name a few? I can name from the book that there is Comelina, Gangetic primrose, touch me not, Indian licorice or gunja flowers, Justicia procumbens, Tuduvalai or Solanum trilobatum. From the book, and there are other wild solanums also, have a blue and bluish flowers. Some have actually yellowish and whitish flowers also. Then I can think of Aparajita or the butterfly pea or Clitoria Ternatia, Tulasi or Osimum species. That which is not all edible but some immensely medicinal grows in the area can be considered from the blue shades and flowering for a long time our dwarf morning glory. I had mentioned this flower last time, Evolvillus alcinoides. You see them, if you step out and look around, you see them, this tiny, absolutely gorgeous looking Ipomea-ish flower. Ipomea-ish, they are convolvulaceae, which means their petals are merged together. Then there are Leucas, Vernonia, Cleome, Indigofera, all are in amazing shades of blue, magenta, bluish, whitish, like that. Well, let's stop here because right now I can think of several more. Then there are others, not blue flowers, which are evidently insect pollinated and are frequented by the bees. Some of these plants, not currently in the book, but will be featured in the two more books that will be published in the series, once we have raised enough funds. I will leave you to mull over the various ways weeds are there to help us. I will see you next week. Until then, stay well and stay safe.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the City of Dome.